The following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network and ChicagoBears.com. Download the Chicago Bears official mobile app for up-to-the-minute Bears content every day. And now, welcome to Bears All Access, your all-access pass into Chicago Bears football. Bears All Access is brought to you by CDW, Miller Lite, PNC, and Comcast.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to another edition, a live one, of Bears All Access on Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score, 85 Bear. Tom Thayer is here. So is former Bears quarterback Jim Miller. I'm Zach Zabin. You can join us at 312-644-6767. I'm not going to waste time. What did we learn, Tom, from Mitchell Trubisky in that fourth preseason game?
You know, he needs a lot more experience. And I think you need a lot more experience to make sure you're familiar with every defense that the NFL is going to offer you. I think they were kind of caught off guard last night when the entirety of training camp up until last night, you face one style of defense. And then you have Cleveland come in and run a defense that you're not familiar with from the offensive line backwards. And that really affects the quarterback a lot. I was disappointed in the first nine plays of the game of what a poor performance by the offensive line and the blockers to provide running room for the running backs. And then you really didn't show the offensive coordinator, hey, we can protect our quarterback, so let's throw the ball. And then when it was the 10th play of the game and then they threw the ball with Mitchell Trubisky, it kind of made me nervous because they didn't prove anything to me in the first nine plays of the game. So I do think that the guys that had an opportunity to play last night, they understood what their commitment is to the game, to make sure they understand how to block the different schemes that they'll see week in and week out. And they're going to face this style of defense against the Atlanta Falcons. The starters weren't in there, but you have to take an understanding of how to be prepared to face that front.
Jim, you were up in the media deck at Soldier Field watching the game last night, calling it on the TV side. What did you learn from Mitchell Trubisky in that fourth preseason game against the Browns?
Well, I think for him, one, to prepare, to know that he's the starter going in. I think that's always important. I think for him, being called in at a moment's notice, like what happened later in the game with the injury of Connor Shaw. I think you've got to be prepared for that, and that is a realistic thing that could unfold in the National Football League. I think at times, I know the game plan was limited, what they were going to call, certainly don't want to show certain things, and I think Tom brings up good points about the style of defense that Cleveland runs and also the blitzes they were bringing in the game as well. I think the Bears, from what I see, and I think we've seen it all preseason long, they are challenged at wide receiver right now. It was no more evident on the Connor Shaw sack for a safety. That was max protection, and guys couldn't get down the field on what is basically a shot play. So that more speed is needed. I don't think moves are done. I think the waiver wire is a realistic, whether they're talking trades to add a receiver right now. But that position is going to be upgraded. There is no doubt about that from the Bears. And then, of course, defensively, as Tom mentioned, some blown assignments, coverages that were blown, led to big plays, and that's going to hurt you. So the communication part of it was lacking from the back end of the secondary that we knew going in here this offseason was an issue that they needed to correct as well.
So, Jim, now the regular season's getting ready to start, and everything changes because you do put emphasis on the quarterback that's going to start for you, and that is going to be Mike Glennon. What is Mitchell Trubisky's responsibility going forward? How will he learn outside of just going to practice and observing what they're giving the first team quarterback, the reps they're giving him? And how do you become a smarter football player without having the same amount of reps once the regular season gets here?
I think that decision is happening right now, you know, in closed doors, saying, hey, do we feel that Mitchell is ready to be the number two? Can he come off the bench when asked? With the game plan that we have required, certainly they'll have to scale some things back. But if they feel that's yes, then they will move forward in that development. Because as the number two, I think you'll agree, Tom, he will get the reps required and the work that is necessary for him to develop. But, you know, and Sanchez will still be there as the mentor role. And I think as the sounding board for Mike Glennon as well. And, you know, they know who Mark Sanchez is. And he can be called upon in a moment's notice if he needed to be inserted or, you know, get the reps that he needs if, say, he had to make a start for the Chicago Bears. But I think all those decisions are ongoing within the Chicago Bears organization for how their roster is finally going to be set.
Jim, you're the perfect guy to ask this because you've been on both sides of it. You've been a starting quarterback where you've relied on the assistance, if you will, of a backup quarterback, an extra set of eyes on the bench after a series. And I hear a lot of people saying, well, if you believe that Mitchell Trubisky is the number two quarterback on the team, that there's no need for Mark Sanchez to be on the roster. He's taken up a spot. How important is it to have that extra veteran quarterback who's been there and done that to help the starter as well as the guy developing?
Well, if you believe that, if they believe so hard, you know, are adamant about, hey, he's our number two, and they want to go in the season with just two quarterbacks, then yeah, they'll release Mark Sanchez. But you've got to be prepared. Week one, say Atlanta, God forbid Mike Glennon were to get hurt and Trubisky's in there, he's got to be able to handle the whole load for that whole game. So you better make sure that you believe that he's ready to do that, or you can manage it as play callers that he can do that. Or you take the safe route and say, let's keep three. We like Sanchez. He's going to help out Trubisky. And maybe Sanchez at that point becomes trade bait before the deadline. And I've been adamant about that too. There's some teams right now that need quarterbacks. And there are injuries that are going to happen. So that could be a realistic option for the Bears as well. That way they feel a little bit more comfortable. They're a little bit more protected in that area. And it just gives Mitchell Trubisky more time to develop, if that's the case. But yet he's still getting number two repetitions.
But, you know, Jim, your job as a quarterback, you affect the other 52 guys on the football team, offense and defense, but all those other guys on offense, if you want to get the best play out of them, it's going to be by having a good quarterback play in behind you. And that which makes me think about DeShone Kizer. Here's a guy that has 49 snaps in his professional career in the preseason. He's going to go into these games, and it's going to be – I mean, it could be a fog for him. So I think when you talk about the veteran that's going to be behind Mike Glennon, you got to have a guy that's going to make sure that you put your other players in the position to succeed, not try to overcome obstacles that could hurt your team overall.
Well, with the release of Brock Osweiler, Hugh Jackson, that coaching staff, a lot of pressure has been put on them to protect that young signal caller. We'll touch on that more. As I know we're coming to the break, but we'll get to that on the other side.
Also, I don't know if you guys have read the papers, gone online today, listened to the radio. It seems to be a difference of opinion across the board as to what do you do at the tail end of a preseason game. Do you have Trubisky throw it like they did yesterday and set him up for a potential hit? It is football, after all. Or do you say, no way, don't put the guy at risk? I'm interested. You guys played in these games. What do you think?
I'd like to see what the callers think.
312-644-6767. Anything you want to ask Tom and Jim, it's fair game here on Bears All Access on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Get round-the-clock news, video, and updates straight from your favorite team. Download the Chicago Bears official app presented by Verizon and follow the Bears on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat for the latest content all year round direct to your device. This is Bears All Access on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Tom Thayer is here, so is Jim Miller. I'm Zach Sabin. You can join us at 312-644-6767. So a lot of people were wondering, well, why is Mitchell Trubisky dropping back to throw at the tail end of that game against the Browns yesterday? And Hall of Fame writer Dan Pompey on CBSChicago.com chipped in earlier today by saying, quote, "I see nothing wrong with Mitchell Trubisky dropping back to pass in the closing minutes of the game. I see something wrong with Trubisky not dropping back to pass in the opening minutes of the game. Football players play football."
I agree with that. And that's why I was so disappointed after the poor performance within the first nine attempted running plays that he threw the ball the 10th and 11th play. But when you look at the plays that he was throwing ball at the end of the game, first one was a screen, by gosh sakes. If you can't block and be deceptive enough by a screen instead of having someone up front have a mental error that exposes Mitchell Trubisky to immediate pressure, that he gets pushed before they can throw a screen, you know, at such close quarters, shame on the blockers. And then the second one that he did throw the ball that he got sacked on, he should have thrown the ball to Michael Pruitt because the tight end was open. He was running a route that if Mitchell Trubisky would have read it properly, thrown it to him, he would have probably ended up with a touchdown. So, I mean, there's a lot of things to take in consideration. Don't blame it on one person or one element. It's about all 11 guys doing their job correctly so the play succeeds.
Jim. And let's be honest, that's the first time they were basically in the red zone all night, correct?
Right.
So let's try and score. That's actually a really productive area of the field that Trubisky needs reps in, is red zone, because Bears lack scoring last year. And that kid, there's less real estate down there. That is a different area of the field that a quarterback needs to manage with his decision-making, because the windows are smaller and everything that's involved. It really is, and it needs to be treated with the importance that it really matters on game day.
But do you do it with the blockers that he had in front of him? I understand what you're saying, but he didn't have the best available blockers last night on that play.
No, I agree with you completely. But the bottom line is these guys are out there trying to execute the play that's called, and they've got to do it, as Tom mentioned, on a screen pass. It's a pretty basic play. I don't care what screen you call, even if it's a wide receiver screen. You have your assignments and how you got to execute it, and it's not a difficult play to execute. It's really this the timing of it and how it matches up. But those guys got to go out there and execute it at the end of the day. But I think, again, they're trying to learn more about their quarterback, and I think that says a lot, because in terms of the evaluation, like Tom said, well, this would be a negative for Trubisky because he didn't read it correctly, and he might have hit the tight end for a touchdown. So that goes in a negative in the evaluation category.
You weren't asking any player to do anything unrealistic that they're going to need to do during the regular season if they do make a roster, if they think they're going to be a competitive NFL player. So I think, I don't disagree with Dan.
312-644-6767, the phone number. Morgan Park, Phil, you're on Bears All Access. Hi, Phil.
Hey, Zach. Hey, Jim. Bears need a wideout. Ryan Pace sat on his hands today and let Jerome Kearse get away. Should he go after Dontrell Inman? Should he go aggressively after a wide? We need a wide receiver on the outside, not a slot receiver.
Right, but you have to admit, those players are being made available for contract reasons. Say, like Allen Hurns, I forget the contract that they gave him. I think it was like a 4-year, $30 million deal. So you got to have the cap space to take that on, number one. Okay, or do you play the Russian roulette and say, you want what? They're going to cut those players anyway. They're going to be available, and guess where the Bears are sitting? We're sitting third in terms of the waiver wire claims. What's the realistic when you go through the other teams? Cleveland, are they set at receiver? San Francisco, are they set at receiver? Because the Bears would be getting a third claim, and they may be in line to get first dibs on a receiver if it goes through the waiver claim wire. So that's a possibility as well, but the Bears have to be willing to assume that contract if those players become available, because ultimately if those teams can't trade them, those players are ultimately going to get cut anyway.
Well, Kearse was traded for, and they had Sheldon Richardson to dangle out in front of them. So yeah. If you're going to go and make a trade for a receiver, who are you willing to give up that has that type of, who's thought of that quality of a player, Sheldon Richardson?
Yeah. And let's be honest, Seattle is a team. Think of them in New England. I mean, look at the trade. They've given up first rounders before for Percy Harvin. They've given up first-rounders for, like, Marshawn Lynch. How about you look at the Jimmy Graham trade? Look what that entailed. And then today they give up a second-rounder and Jermaine Kearse to add Sheldon Richardson to their roster. And now they're trying to parlay that and trade away Ataba Rubin, defensive lineman there. But, those are the type of gambles Seattle's willing to take and they're willing to make. And they've shown repeatedly in their past that they will do so. But that's second-round compensation. The Bears right now, you would think, would want to keep their compensation to add more young players while they continue to build this roster, not add high contracts and plus give away compensation to add to the receiving corps. I think they'll be able to add just via the waiver wire and guys that are released.
Yeah, because they have the ability to the third opportunity to claim guys in the entire league after Cleveland and San Francisco. That gives them a major advantage over the rest of the league, and
right.
That's one of the bonuses to having the season that they had a year ago. 312-644-6767. Michael in Peoria, you're on Bears All Access. Hi, Michael.
Hey there. This was just in regard to the Trubisky throws at the end of the game last night. I didn't really understand the play calls just because there's not a 25-point play in football, and I don't know that the risk is worth the payoff in any way. I'm going to hang up and hear what y'all have to say.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you from that standpoint. I thought the Bears' game plan last night was very remedial. let's be honest. I thought it was very vanilla on what the plays that they called, whether it was the runs or the pass plays. There was nothing complicated about it. I think what's disappointing, too, is, like I said, some of the pass protection that was there. I mean, again, I bring up that safety to Connor Shaw because it just sticks in my craw. That's a max protection where they just got whipped up front and you had no separation at all from the wide receivers. But I think when you get down to the red zone, your play calling then changes because even in the game, and it's a preseason game, you're not going to stick with the same play calls that you had from, say, 20 to 20. When you're down in the red zone, there are different ways you have to attack the field or a defense because the lack of field, dictates it. And so I think that's all that was going on. The play calling was going to be different down there regardless because the red zone is always called differently.
Yeah, you know, again, I just bring up the fact that the first time he threw in the fourth quarter was a screen pass, and 100% of the time that should be protected perfectly because it's a deception play, not necessarily a pocket-type protection play. And the thing about Trubisky to me, though, is when I was coming out of college, John Elway was also coming out of college, and to live through some of his growing pains, they always expose his feet because he was so fast, he ran so well, and his ability to learn in the NFL early was using a moving pocket, was running bootlegs and stuff. And I know that it was a different style of defense, but I would always challenge the contain of a defense, especially with young and experienced guys, even with the Cleveland Browns, to see if they respected Trubisky's feet. And so that's what I'm going to do first, is I'm going to try to put him in a move, put him in a safe area to throw the ball with some type of efficient, easy red play, not counting on five offensive linemen to set up a perfect pocket and protect him.
Well, yeah. Tom, but you would admit this. I mean, a screen pass, that's a pretty safe play call.
Right. I agree. I mean, that's what I'm saying, Jim. You can't. That's
but then explain to me why you would run it nine consecutive times like they did in the first half.
Well,
And then all of a sudden, and I'm not saying that what they did at the tail end of the game was reckless.
They threw it on the 10th play, though, Zach. I mean, they did. They didn't have success in the first nine run plays. They threw it on the 10th and 11th play.
I think a lot of it is, too, and Tom, you tell me. I think you got five different offensive linemen out there. You're trying to get them all settled in, and I think you're still managing a young quarterback to get him settled in. Let's let everything settle down, and that's what Dow Loggins has done early when Trubisky's been in there. They've had outside zone, inside zone runs. Then they mix in a bootleg. They do some movement plays with him. Then they started to hammer the pocket passes. At least that's what I witnessed. And I think that's part of it, too. Let's get these offensive linemen settled in. There are some different defensive looks from Greg Williams. Let's get these guys settled in. Now we'll start to progress to the passing game. And they really weren't productive in either. But I think a lot of it was just to get everybody settled early in the fourth preseason game.
All right, let's take a commercial break. When we come back, 312-644-6767 is the phone number here on Bears All Access. Let's talk about the rest of the football team, because the Bears are about to start the regular season against the Atlanta Falcons. What did we learn about the team that the Bears are going to put on the field September 10th against the defending NFC champions? I will ask Tom Thayer. I will ask Jim Miller. I will ask you guys next right here on Bears All Access on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Start the season opening weekend off with a day of music, food, football, and fun at the Miller Lite Bears Block Party in Logan Square, Saturday, September 9th. Get complete event details at ChicagoBears.com. Day after that is the regular season opener, September
10th. But I'll be at that block party.
Will you?
Yes.
Oh, man. You know how to kick the season off right. So you'll be at Logan Square Saturday, September 9th.
Yes.
And then you'll bounce. Are you going to even sleep September 9th into September 10th?
I will still that get night. Excited, you know, it's well, yeah. I get excited about the start of the regular season, and you know, I think even last night at the game, you saw a reflection of Bears fans that they definitely want to see more out of the team. So, you know, I think there will be a lot of fun there.
That's Tom Thayer, Jim Miller is along as well, and I'm Zach Sabin. You can join us at 312-644-6767 here on Bears All Access on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. All right, we spent so much time talking about the quarterbacks. What about the rest of the team? Because, Jim, when we heard from Ryan Pace at the start of training camp in Bourbonnais, he mentioned that the front seven on the defensive side of the ball, that's the strength of the Chicago Bears football club. As you watch the team through the Bourbonnais portion of camp, in these preseason games, back at Hallis Hall, and now that the preseason is over, is he right?
Yeah, I agree. I think they gave a lot of teams fits through the preseason. Again, I know it's preseason, but that's a pretty darn good team in Tennessee. And they gave them a lot of fits last weekend in the third preseason game. And a pretty athletic quarterback that I thought was, you know, they struggled. They struggled to run the football. I think the average coming out of that game for all the carries that both Henry had and what they do with DeMarco Murray, I think it only averaged like 2.6 per carry. And then you saw they got to Mariota on good times. And that's a big physical team. And I think that's who the Bears are. They can be big and bad up front now. And that front seven can get after it. I think, again, we go back to the secondary. It's just how is that going to come together? Haven't seen Amukamara and Cooper really on the field together. I think Kyle Fuller is really stepped up and seems like his is in a good spot for him to play well. But I just don't think we've seen the secondary settled just yet. Like the linebacking core and where it's at, I think it will be better when Pernell McPhee gets back into the mix. How soon or how long that's going to be, I think remains to be seen. But I think the front seven definitely showed that they could be dominant during the preseason.
I love the versatility of the front seven. But to me, the key is I think Akeem Hicks is a Pro Bowler. I think that guy is incredible how destructive he can be. But to me, the success and failure of the defense is going to be relying upon guys like Eddie Goldman being healthy and staying healthy, Jonathan Bullard developing into the lineman that we saw throughout the preseason, making sure that Willie Young and Pernell McPhee is contributing out there, because I think and Leonard Floyd, because I think when you have the versatility of a guy like Pernell McPhee mixed with Leonard Floyd, mixed with Willie Young, you can change up the fronts so much to confuse offensive linemen. And then as you scout your opponent and you see where their weaknesses are up front, you can take advantage of them. I think they can do a lot to help the defensive backfield led by Quinton Demps and the rest of those guys. But man, if this defensive front, if the young guys, Eddie Goldman and Jonathan Bullard, are big-time contributors, along with Mitch Unrein and the rest of the crew, I think they're a top-10 defense.
Do they have the depth? Because that was another big thing that John Fox talked about throughout the offseason. They didn't have depth last year. When Eddie Goldman went down, they didn't really have anybody that could replace him. You know, they didn't have anybody opposite Akeem Hicks at the other defensive end position that they could consistently rely on. They invested in that position via the draft and free agency this offseason. Do they have enough, Jim, from what you've seen, to survive injuries throughout the course of the season?
I do, because if Goldman were to go down, you could kick Akeem Hicks to zero, and then you put Hay and Bullard at the five techniques. I believe they have the ability to do that. So, and that I think the key for me when we talk about their depth is going to be the linebackers. How does that shake out? I like it there too, because at some point, I don't think they're going to give the – I know he says he's ready when you look at Danny Trevathan, but Kwiatkowski, I like what I've seen from him. He's playing faster. And then if Trevathan can come back, get to 100% where he can take a 65-snap game, you've got good backups there. I like what I've seen at Christian Jones. So to me, those would be the four on the interior for the Chicago Bears. Think they've got four outside backers, so they've got depth there if they need to fill in. And I like that D-line. And I'll tell you what, that Roy Robertson-Harris – that dude, to me, made the team. Because when you got Unrein, Bullard, Goldman, Akeem Hicks, factor in Jay Howard, and then that Roy Robertson-Harris, they've got more than enough depth than what they need, I think, up front.
Yeah, I think two guys are unique, Roy Robertson-Harris and Christian Jones, because they're unique athletes. They're lengthy. They're really good athletes. They run well. They have their upside is still coming. They're not to the point where they are. To me, Christian Jones, if he could stay at one position, but he has the versatility to play inside and outside, and I think that helps the depth of the Bears' front seven. Roy Robertson-Harris making the transition from a stand-up linebacker to a lineman that plays in a three-point stance. Now he's taking on interior double teams rather than just fighting against a tight end or an offensive tackle. And like you, all the other guys they were brought in as free agents throughout the offseason, the depth is there, but, you know, it is a combination of those five active defensive linemen on game day and everybody being interchangeable up and down the line of scrimmage.
As good as the first team defense was throughout the course of the preseason and everything that you guys talked about in terms of the depth of that front seven, we still didn't see the ball. The ball wasn't taken away the way you'd like, considering what the Bears front seven was able to do in the preseason. How do you fix that?
I think they got to continue to gel, and I think a lot of it is the back end of the secondary. I think Eddie Jackson is going to get his opportunity to start opposite Quinton Demps. Quinton Demps put himself in position a couple times. You know what they have? I think two swipes, and both of them were in the fourth quarter. And again, the two starting corners potentially haven't been in there on a full-time basis. We have yet to see the complete package fully utilized right now. It's incomplete from what we've witnessed in the preseason because just some guys haven't been available due to injury. We'll see where it goes. But I think that front seven is going to help out the back four where they can start making some plays on the football. And I think ultimately that will happen. They just have to believe in what they have. And I think they do. You listen to Quinton Demps, they know that front seven is pretty darn good, and that's going to help them on the back end. And I think, again, once they get healthy, they're going to have some opportunity at the swipes, and they're going to have to make the play.
Bring a stopwatch to the game. If the quarterback is forced to make a throw under 2.5 seconds, you're going to talk about interceptions. If he's not forced to make a throw and it's beyond 2.5 seconds, then you're going to see completion. So it could be as much as just having a stopwatch in your hand and seeing the pressure they can provide.
I promise you that I'm going to have this little stopwatch on my phone ready to go against the Falcons. And I'm bringing it up. Jim, don't think I won't.
I know you will. You always come prepared. You're like a little Eagle Scout.
I'm like MacGyver down there on the sideline. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, Dan, you're first up. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. I know a lot of you have questions. We're going to break down Mike Lennon's game because I think that people forget he's also getting an opportunity that he really hasn't had in the National Football League, and he needs the work. You know, we spent so much time talking about the development of Mitchell Trubisky. Also got to talk about the development of Mike Glennon going forward and what he can provide for the Bears at the beginning of the regular season. Let's take a break. We'll come back. Tom Thayer's here. So's Jim Miller. I'm Zach Zaidman. This is Bears All Access on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Tom Thayer is here. So's Jim Miller. I'm Zach Zaidman. This is Bears All Access on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. We've been taking your phone calls all hour talking Bears football at 312-644-6767. Go off the field with Inside the Bears. Tune in weekly Saturday at 6 p.m. on CW50 and Sunday on Fox 32 Chicago at 10:35 p.m. for unique Bears stories and interviews. This week, an encore edition of Inside the Bears. Spice Adams and Lauren Screedon serve up some entertaining content with Bears playmakers Akeem Hicks and Jarrell Freeman. Inside the Bears airs Saturdays at 6 p.m. on CW50 Chicago and Sundays at 11:05 p.m. on Fox 32 Chicago. You can also watch show segments online at chicagobears.com or on the Chicago Bears official app anytime. All right, out to the phones we go. Dan is in Denver. Dan, you're on Bears All Access. Good evening.
Gentlemen, I'm going to make a bold prediction. I believe the Bears are going to knock off the Falcons next Sunday, and I'll explain why. Bears are a vastly improved team from last year. Jim, and you said a bunch of times that their front seven could be a dominating force. Secondary is completely revamped. The offensive line is probably a top 10 offensive line. If they can run the ball and they can control the line of scrimmage on both sides, I think they win by a touchdown. What do you guys think?
Well, first of all, I like what you're saying, Dan, because I do think that the first four games, the success the Bears are going to have is going to be relying upon Jordan Howard, Tariq Cohen, and the running game to keep the opponent's offense off the field. And if you do come in and you have a supportive stadium in Soldier Field next Sunday and the versatility that Vic Fangio can present up front with his defense, I have a hard time not agreeing with you. I think that they can come in here, and then you always think about the team with the Super Bowl hangover. It does affect the losing team of the Super Bowl.
Yeah, they've got a new play caller in Steve Sarkisian. I know everybody say, oh, nothing's going to change. Kyle Shanahan moved on, and Steve Sarkisian's going to do exactly what Kyle Shanahan did. I disagree. They may say that, but Steve Sarkisian is going to have things that he hangs his hat on from his experience in calling plays and things that he believes on and tendencies that he shows that certainly the Bears have to be prepared for. But he's going to call a game differently than what Kyle Shanahan did. And the Bears have to be prepared for that. And I've said it repeatedly. The Bears need to be a team that's willing to pick a fight every weekend. And I think they're built well in the trenches, both offensively and defensively, where they can wear some teams out, i.e. like what they did last year to the Minnesota Vikings defense, where Jordan Howard was just mushing it down that defense's throat. And that's who the Bears need to be. And if they do that, they're going to be in a lot of close games. And now when they wear those teams out, which are good teams that they're facing, three out of their first four are playoff teams. If they can wear those teams out, are the Bears capable of having the knockout punch? And that's what I think it is. And if they do that, they will start to believe and that they can win games and against good teams, because that's what Tom always says. You always like those good hard tests early just to see where you stand. Now, if they go out there and get embarrassed and Atlanta's scoring 30 points on them, it's back to the drawing board. But I don't think that's the case, because I think this team is willing to pick a fight, and I like the way they're built.
Do they have the quarterback to make the big plays? Because you talked about putting the finishing touches. You know, if you're in for a fight, you still need 3 to 5 big plays. And when I think of that, I'm usually thinking the quarterback's got to make 3 to 5 big plays a game in order to win that game. What did you see from Mike Lennon that gives you that confidence going forward? Because, you know, something, I spoke to him right after the Tennessee game when he had his best performance of the preseason. And he mentioned something I didn't even think about. You know, we've spent so much time talking about Trubisky's right. development. And he said, yeah, I've had a lot of reps in practice, both in Chicago and in Tampa. But there's nothing like having real game reps. And he hasn't had a lot of real game reps.
But it's the preparedness. It's making sure that Dow Loggins and Dave Ragone, the quarterback coach, they get him prepared for what they're going to see defensively from Atlanta. And it is the scripted plays that you start out with. It is having those confident plays that all 11 guys go out there and feel that they can have success running in. What we saw to Mike Glennon against Tennessee is our first snippet of a game plan preparation for Glennon, and I like the lasting thought that he left in my head.
Yeah, you know, that was a great drive, and those aren't easy. You go on 96-yard marches, 3 of 3 on third down, and then you punch it in for a touchdown late to Deion Sims to really cap that drive off. That's who Mike Glennon needs to be. He needs to be efficient, not turn over the football. And nobody is asking him to be Superman. And I've said this too. He just needs to be Clark Kent. Don't screw it up. Just go out there, do what you're asked to do, make the reads you're supposed to make, get the offense in the right checks, and that is preparation. And Mike Glennon is capable of doing that. And I think if he just does that, he'll surprise a lot of people. He's got a big arm. Everybody knows that. And I think we've witnessed it at times during training camp. And it's his time. And if he prepares like that every single week and doesn't make the costly mistake, it's far easier to lose games with a bad decision than it is to win one. But if he's prepared for everything that he's going to see, they will be just fine.
You know, you talk about that drive. The first play of the game was to Zach Miller. The last play into the touchdown was to Deion Sims. I think you're going to see a heavy inclusion of the tight end position and Jordan Howard in the success of this football team. I don't think it's reliant of having that superstar wide receiver. I think they got a lot of good position players. When you think of Kendall Wright and Wheaton and Kevin White and the rest of these guys that can come out there and help this offense.
I'm fascinated by the fact that most people would have said that they don't want Mike Lennon to be Batman. He can be Robin and you can win. But Jim spun it around in a completely different way. He wants the Daily Planet's Clark Kent as opposed to Superman. I like it, Jim.
Hey,
I like it.
He shows up to write his article every day. That's all I know.
he's a worker bee. 312-644-6767. Wadsworth, Tom, you are on Bears All Access.
Hey, guys. It's an honor to talk to you. And Zach as well. So two issues. One is... is Zach Miller. I'd like to see Zach, him be the take some of the targets wherever he lines up, you know, because I think he's probably the best receiver they got in the team right now. I mean, the guy's got great hands. He's got speed, size. I mean, I don't know how they're going to line him up, but I think to me, he's as good, if not better, than any of the guys he might pick off of the cuts. And the other thing that bothered me, and it really fit some insight, is I was at the game last night, had a nice view in the stands, and to me it looked like Hugh Jackson, an offensive guy, was taking full advantage, or for the most part advantage, of all the snaps in the preseason. Whereas the Bears, to me, they just wasted them. You know, I didn't see any plan, a vision, you know, a big picture. Okay, we're going to take this time, we're going to do this, whether it's Mitch or Connor or the guys in the field. I mean, to me, I came this season expecting the Bears to go against expectations they usually do and do better. But I'm really, you know, I'm just so, I butt head with Fox. I just think, you know, he's a defensive guy who was running, I think the West Coast offense is more or less an outdated offense. Loggins is an okay coordinator. But I just, you know, the coaching or the vision from the from the coaching staff for the offense really is dimming my enthusiasm, which was pretty high going into the preseason. So anyway, I love your feedback.
You know, Tom, real quickly for me, I think when you go to training camp, you have a syllabus of you. You have a lot of information you need to install throughout the length of training camp. You do have the one third preseason game. They talk about the dress rehearsal, and you saw when they did prepare Glennon how efficient he was. The rest of the time, it's just about making sure that you can install all this information and try to put it to use in the preseason games with no real plan of attack. So I just think that's customary for NFL teams. But now everything changes. Everything you learned, they're going to whittle it down and make a game plan out of it for Atlanta.
I think Jim agrees with you. I'm going to take a wild guess here.
I agree, man. Hey, let's put it this way. You're trying to figure out certain spots of what players can and cannot do. And even Hugh Jackson did that last night. Why do you think Njoku was in there getting the catches that he did? He wants to see what that kid can do when the lights are on. He was on a fact-finding mission on certain things that he called as well.
Hey, on defense, man, I saw some double A-gap blitzes from the Bears last night that
they got to him every time.
And you know it's got Matt Ryan and the Falcons thinking. Let's take a break. We'll come back. More of your phone calls next on Bears All Access on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Bears All Access rolls on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Tom Thayer is here. So is Jim Miller. I'm Zach Zaidman. And you at 312-644-6767. Been taking your phone calls. Preseason's over. Regular season underway. Bears have some, I don't necessarily know, tough decisions over the deadline to get a 53-man roster is tomorrow at 3 o'clock. But I don't think that's as difficult of a decision as what Jim talked about earlier, because this is new, where just about every team has a 90-man roster, got to cut 35 players to get down, and there are going to be a lot of players available Saturday night into Sunday, where that 53-man roster that the Bears put together at 3 p.m. on Saturday could look very different on Sunday.
I do think in the future it would be neat if we could have a show of cuts and talk about them in terms of where they fit in, and almost like a draft-type show, because there's so many names out there. And all these scouts with the Chicago Bears, they've scouted every one of these guys in their past. And whether you're a first-year, a rookie, first-year, whatever you are in terms of your career, you have a scouting book on these guys. And it would be interesting to look at the list of these guys when they're all finally made and sit there and have a conversation. If this guy fits into your future, or could he be an asset for your program?
You know, one of the guys the Bears got in that type of situation last year was Craven LeBlanc, who ended up being a valuable contributor for them.
But we saw him when the week of practice that we spent out in New England.
Right, so who knows who the Bears were watching when they faced Arizona, Tennessee, or Denver, or even last night against the Browns. You know, I remember Tyler Klutz, the former fullback? Bears, the coaching staff saw he was playing in Cleveland in that final preseason game against the Bears. They liked what they saw, even though he was playing for the other team, and they found a way to acquire him after the deadline. That's why your people are always watching you, no matter when you play, no matter if it's first team, second team, third team, or even in the fourth string. There's always somebody watching.
Yeah, and it's not just the preseason games the Bears played in, because certainly you got to do the advanced scouting. Like, how many Bears scouts have been at the Atlanta Falcons preseason games? You know, are there players there that those scouts have seen that, you know what, this guy kind of fits what we're doing, you know, in terms of, you know, whether it's run or maybe it's secondary play and stuff like that. So it is around the National Football League. And the Bears don't have their head in the sand. They're looking at the, over 1,100 guys that are out there just like every other team. But it's just how they fit and do they upgrade from what the Bears currently have, say in those, you know, when we look at the 53-man roster, maybe it's the numbers, 47 through 53 that they're looking to get better, whether it's at the key positions where they feel they're a little weak and a little light that they want to get better at. And so I think all those things are considered.
312-644-6767. Let's go to Chase on the north side. Chase, you're on Bears All Access.
Hey, guys. I was curious, just noticing the game, first three drives, Trubisky did not throw a single pass. And I think I know about football, so it's weird to see, nine consecutive run plays, with your rookie quarterback starting his first game. It's confusing to me. Do you guys have any kind of idea why they would do that?
I don't know. Chase, I agree with you. I was kind of disappointed he didn't throw within the first nine plays, but I keep mentioning it. He did throw a 10th and 11, but I would always like to use Mitchell Trubisky's assets right now, and that's his feet, and that's his vision. That's throwing on the move with accuracy. So anytime you put him out there, if you want to break him in or you want to get him into that comfort zone, do something that you know he does well and you could take advantage of your opponent. So I kind of wish that after they unsuccessfully ran the ball, were attempting to run the ball, that they would have given him an opportunity to maybe get outside the pocket.
I liked how he changed the snap count up a little bit and got some guys in the neutral zone. And you know, even for the run game, I haven't asked any coaches or talked to anybody on the offensive staff for the Bears. I don't know. For all I know, those could all been run checks. Is the kid going to get us in the right play? Maybe that was going on in terms of a fact-finding mission. Has anybody asked that question? I'd like to know that as well. That's a big part of football.
Before the game, one of the things that the Bears wanted Trubisky, because this was his last opportunity in a game that doesn't count, to kind of go through the whole week as the starting quarterback and go through the routine of going to meetings, the prep work that it takes to be a starting QB, which is different than popping off the bench and having to go in there in an emergency situation.
He had to do that too.
Right, exactly. So he got a little bit of both. And then I think, you know, Jim brings up a great point about the cadence. There was a report I did last night after the first series. That was a point of emphasis from the coaching staff, Tom. They wanted him to use his voice and use the cadence to their advantage in that game, especially playing at home.
Well, Jim, let me ask you something. How long does it take you as a quarterback that you have a good enough command of the terminology that you can go out and use voice flexion as a weapon? Because it seems to me as a quarterback, because it's so difficult to learn everything perfectly, that sometimes you're going to the line of scrimmage thinking about the play call, the cadence, and what the snap count is. But the better you use it, then you can start using it as a weapon.
Yeah, no, you're right, because As a young play caller, or young quarterback, I should say, you get in, you know, kind of the same mode. You want to be safe and just call everything on one. You know, say, all right, I'm thinking about the play call, and here's how the formation is supposed to set up. Now you get up to the line of scrimmage, and I want to see how the defense lines up. And you get in a habit of calling everything on one because it's the safe and easy thing to do. Okay, but what happens is, a lot of other defenses, they know that, and they're getting off on the snap because you're becoming rhythmic, and it's, you know, they expect it, and you just go up there and do that, and lo and behold, they get a jump on the ball. So I looked at that as a positive. Harry's out there using his voice inflection. Hey, guys, we're going to change this one up now. We're going to go on two, and they get a cheap, easy 5 yards. I looked at that as a good thing because that changing the snap count needs to be a weapon. And it's going to help out your offensive linemen, and it helps out everybody on offense overall. So I viewed that as an encouraging step forward.
Back to the phones we go. Chris in Midway, you're on Bears All Access.
Hey, guys. It's great to hear you on the radio talking real football. We've talked about the wide receivers that we have to upgrade that, but what about the running game? With the five backs that we have, do you see a change at running back? I mean, I'm not impressed with what we have. Tariq Cohen, he played really well, and that was a surprise, but Kadeem's hurt.
If you're not impressed with Jordan Howard's 1,300 yards a year ago, second in the league, I don't know what's going to impress you.
I'll tell you what will impress you. What he told us last night on the radio, and I don't know if he said this to you on TV, Jim, but you know, I asked him, how do you improve? What's the goal this year? He said to lead the league in rushing.
And that's starting 16 games. You think about the 3 games he didn't play that came back to hurt him.
The next time we do Bears All Access, it counts. It's the regular season as the Bears get ready for the Atlanta Falcons. For Tom Thayer and Jim Miller, I'm Zach Zaidman saying thanks for listening to Bears All Access on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Thanks for listening to the Chicago Bears Network presentation of Bears All Access. Podcasts are available on ChicagoBears.com and on iTunes, or download the official Bears mobile app. Bears All Access has been brought to you by CDW, Ford, Verizon, and United Airlines.